Okay. You want me to say this now?
This is newsish.
Newsish.
Can I practice just one time?
The podcast all about
what's making news.
What's making news
and how the news gets made.
With Sebastian Robertson.
I said summer camp.
Chance Horner.
I hate you so much.
And Aaron Franco.
Nobody cares.
This
is
newsish.
I can't even read.
I'm done.
I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I don't really get what you guys are doing. And I've done that on purpose because I knew that I'd be coming here. A couple of observations. Like, being trapped in an airport all night is probably the worst thing ever, right? To the average flyer. Like, if you're trying to get...
Yeah, I said this at the beginning of the day. It's like the worst vacation ever. It's like a really bad layover and... just doesn't stop.
And it's funny because, like, as you look at the people around us, they're acting like I acted when I went to the Renaissance Fair. And there's, like, the medieval actors around you where when you walk past the white knight, you look at the ground, you're like, please don't improv around me. Please don't. Like, I don't want to interact with the jester. I just want to be here to eat my giant turkey leg. I don't want to be involved in some impromptu. So that's the vibe I'm getting from the people around us here. The show is the Newsish podcast. We're doing a simulcast here where we're broadcasting live, I guess, on WFA.com on Facebook. But this is also going to be recorded as part of a podcast we do every week. Chance Horner and I and myself.
Yeah.
And we've done it for more than a year now?
Yeah, over a year. It was around April 23rd of last year when we started. This is the 49th episode of this thing.
Which is just hard to believe that we've done that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty proud of us.
I'm pretty proud of you. And so we're going to do the entire episode here featuring what it is that you guys are doing.
Are we up on the little
line? I want to know, first of all, I want to feel like, am I giving you guys a break to kind of take the gears off?
I like how much you're talking, back? Yes. The amount that you're talking is really good for me.
I want to know, like, when the little tiny kernel of the idea came up, was there one particular thing that sparked, hey, I want to spend 24 hours in an airport?
I think much like the crazy things that we have been able to do over the course of the last year, it isn't just one thing.
Right.
It's a thing that built on
several
top of
things
a thing.
That coalesced.
Yeah.
Into one thing, but really the seed of the idea was something we featured. We told a version of that story on the podcast here, episode 20.
Who could forget episode 20?
Not that I have to tell anybody, obviously, but it was the ice cream episode that we. Me,
yes.
And David and he who shall not be named went to go get Bluebell. Franco, you're looking confused.
No, you guys like I don't. You guys seem like out of it. how many hours up have you been?
We're on. What time is it? This is 21 and a half.
No, it's going to be 36
oh,
hours.
Oh, no. We've just been broadcasting for 21 and a half.
We're up 36 hours.
We wanted to come to Love Field because. Well, first of all, the idea of telling a story over 24 hours is just an interesting way to do a story. A linear thing where you're doing it live as opposed to creating news packages, which we always do. So the idea at Love Field is that there's so much has happened here in the last 3 years. There are 16 million passengers that'll come through here in a year, which is like more than double the number that were 3 or 4 years ago. So how are they doing that? How are all those people coming here? And we wanted to, instead of just telling a story and putting it together, we wanted to live that story and see the constraints and how they're dealing with the constraints and how they're pushing all these passengers through here on such thin margins. There's only 20 gates in this whole airport.
We will dive deep into all of that. But first of all, let me say that the Newsish podcast, like we touched in the preamble, but before we got to Facebook, is a weekly podcast that we do that kind of gives you the story behind the story that you don't see that gets on TV because... A lot of times we get into crazy fun things that just is like a story that you go home and tell that just dies.
Right.
And it's fun to have an outlet. And I think that the perfect example of this is you guys knew that you were going to be here 24 hours a day, right? And I think in my entire news career, I've never seen a photographer use a tripod with less than three legs. But for some reason, you guys knew you were going to be having a camera up and running 24 hours a day and you bring the tripod with one leg.
Well, and that there's a very good reason for that. Down there at the bottom, it's not rubber, it's a little metal part. He has got a belt that will click into, and so it can support. He's not holding it up with his arms. If he had a tripod, it'd be hard to move from place to place.
How much moving?
We've moved so much.
Oh, okay. We've done
like 20
What's
different things.
Count? It says tilt.
It says what?
That's my joke that nobody laughs at ever.
It's good.
That's
16,000 steps he has on there.
Yeah, and that's just since midnight.
So it comes to you as an idea. And David Schechter, like, I feel like you really pride yourself on how to tell a story a different way. You know, like there's a little minute 30. How can I do this in a way that's never been done before? So this seems very much up your alley. And I know you say there's not one moment, but there has to be a little thing where you thought, like, oh, Love Feels getting busy, or, oh, wouldn't it be fun to do 24 hours of TV? Like, what was the one little glimmer of the idea?
It was the Bluebell ice cream, honestly. We did this live experiment where we went and picked up the ice cream and we brought it back. The whole road trip
You have to explain.
So Bluebell ice cream was coming back to Texas, but not to Dallas. It was
they
going
had
to
a
Houston.
Listeria?
Yes. Do you want me to explain Listeria?
Yeah, go back.
The ice cream had been pulled off the shelves. It had been away for months. They were bringing it back to market.
This is a fan favorite. If you're in Texas, everybody loves it.
Everybody loves Bluebell. And so we went down to Houston to get the ice cream, drive it back to Dallas, and serve it to people. And we did the whole thing essentially live. We brought the live unit with us. And that was so much fun. You built this community of people who were interested in what you're doing and following you the whole time on Facebook, on live stream.
A lot of Periscope in those days.
A lot of Periscope.
In those days.
And so we took that concept.
Back before Facebook took it over.
It's interesting that you ask a question but don't seem interested in the answer.
Wait.
Oh, man. Oh, welcome to my world.
Can I say something real quick before
we get back? Taking over.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I don't know where I was
listening.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're lucky he's not doodling. Geez. He does that a lot.
So here's the thing. I was very weary walking into this situation because it's like when everybody's been on a long camping trip and it's almost done and everyone's about to snap.
And here's the new guy.
Well, first of all, here's the new guy. So you have the disadvantage of being the new guy. And second of all, if somebody snaps, it's going to be at me. So
did I just do that? Did that just happen?
Well,
I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but.
All right. So the Bluebell was an interesting experiment.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And so we were looking for other ways to use that idea and to tell a linear story. And this seemed like a good place because there's so much going on that it would take you 24 hours essentially to do it all. And that's what we did. What have we done? Last night we showed up here. I cleaned the bathrooms.
How'd that go?
It was fantastic.
10 to 10, right? That's what you're doing?
10 to 10. My bathroom was immaculate.
Schechter,
cleaned the bathrooms. We were in the FAA tower. We went out on the tarmac, and we saw how they scraped the rubber off the pavement from where the planes land on the runway. We followed Southwest Airlines to see how they provision everything and get all the stuff onto the planes, how they turn a plane around. I mean, we've been going, man.
The Love Field guy that's, I guess, your escort is shaking his head and pointing at me. Is the FAA going to take me out?
No, it's very good.
Okay, we're cool?
No one's
going to
take
Sir, we've listened to the new guy, and we're going to have to ask you to leave. This is weird because we're in, like, the no man's land of the airport. Like, this is where you go if you're going from Chicago to Atlanta and your flight's been delayed for 2 hours. Where can I go? Listen to my iPod. Get out of the way. Like, we're in the little lounge area.
Yes. There were people sleeping here last night. People actually sleep
right
in the field. I didn't know that, but we were here. We did several things last night here, and there were 25 people sleeping in here.
Can we go back and kind of go chronologically a little bit? You gave us the 10-cent tour of what you did.
We should do transparency here, just to go back. We actually had several meetings about if this is the right thing to do. Like, you kind of waffled there towards the end.
I'm a waffler.
Yeah.
To be real transparent about it.
So, waffling is one way to put it. Another way to put it would be, David says, I've got this big idea.
Could you all buy into this idea,
could you
please?
Buy into this idea, work on all the extreme, crazy logistics that go into that idea? Okay, David, I figured out how to do it. And David says, you know what? I don't want to do it anymore.
Jeff Anastasio, by the way, our digital guy chiming in.
Who's
on the
also
mic.
Been
I'm
here.
Sir, hello. I've been doing Facebook Live here. By the way, Daniel on Facebook says, Sebastian, you are not listening.
What?
She says you're not listening.
Who's Danielle?
She's on her Facebook Live right now.
She says you're not listening.
You were not listening.
I was totally listening.
While we're on the subject of...
people who don't listen.
Of Sebastian, can I read a tweet from our friend Miss Gell?
Is it going to hurt my feelings?
True story. When the fetus in blue started at WFAA, my husband and I thought he was a high school intern.
Look at his laugh. Oh, what's happening?
He's squeaking.
Oh,
this,
boy.
She is just all-star.
This person, egg avatar has been with us for a very long time.
We need to give her a big thumbs up.
I want to hear about the tower, because the tower, when it always makes that list of top 10, top 5 most stressful jobs.
Yeah.
How? Give us, like, your understanding of what a little bit of the workflow is like up there. Like, is it as busy as you would imagine, or is it kind of like calm factory type feel to it? Everyone has a job and they do it.
I saw a lot of things that felt to me, honestly, like a newsroom.
Oh, yeah.
Operational, logistical things there and also at Southwest that I think they're, you know, they want to hang loose and have fun. But I think that, you know, when a breaking news situation happens in the newsroom and everyone is very focused and serious about it, but I think you go about it in a workman person like fashion. I think that's what it's like up there.
Anything like, whoa, didn't expect that. So I'm wondering if anything stuck out in your head.
What stuck out for me is how outdated the decor is inside there.
It is.
It's like walking into 1976. With all the old formica and buttons and things that have the new technology that they need, but the place has not been updated, and so you do feel like you're going back in time.
Okay, so you did the tower. I actually saw that, by the way. That was on the 10 o'clock news, and that was kind of like your kickoff.
That's correct.
You saw him climb through the tiny door.
I did see you climb through the and more impressively, I saw Chance climb through the tiny door with the camera.
Why? Because I'm bigger.
Yeah, because you're bigger, and it's hard for husky gentlemen to fit in tiny holes. The airport, I imagine, ebbs and flows with its busyness. Was there the like creepy middle of the night? Did you ever see The Machinist with Christian Bale?
No.
It's about it's so perfect for this situation. It's about a guy who can't sleep. And so he goes to the airport diner and, like, orders a piece of cake, and it's him in the middle of the night in this airport. Anyway, was there ever that kind of stuff is dulled down, dead of night feeling in here?
For a little bit, not very long. There was about 2 hours in the middle of the night, but, you know, I finished my rounds of cleaning back there at, like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning, 1 in the morning. We had an interview at 2 in the morning. Someone came in for an interview. By 3:30, we were out, you know, on the runways.
We've had this song that's been kind of a running theme through the day. It started very early in the day because actually, you and I rode over here from the news station, and I was waiting on you. You had to do something, and so I'm in the car waiting. And when he gets in, I just started singing, "Everybody's waiting on Jeff." And we've been singing it all day, and it's like people are tweeting us that the song is stuck in their head.
It won't stop.
It won't stop.
It will not stop. You can't kill it.
Everybody's
off.
Waiting on Jeff.
Which people leads
like
me.
It. They like the song.
They do. Which leads me to the head wound.
Ringtone is available.
That I don't know if it was quite an accident. Do you see the side of his head? His side of his head. He has a head wound.
I need to tread lightly. I feel like. Like, there's truly some mind-losing going on here, right?
I think you're the one losing your mind.
We're fine.
Everyone's
we're fine.
With us on Facebook.
Why are you
right
saying
now?
Where are you seeing all these comments pour in, by the way?
On hashtag 24 love.
Oh, let's
no,
try
I
that.
Think he's talking about the live feed, right?
Well, actually, I want to try
Here's
that.
This is a comment from someone I know, Amy's son. Amy, I know Amy. Amy's son says, thanks for entertaining me through a boring school day. With dirty jobs meets undercover boss.
Nice.
Oh,
he was watching during school.
I
that's
guess.
Awesome. I mean, you shouldn't do that. You're better than
those rules. Being out on the tarmac.
Awesome.
Walk me through your jobs. What it is? Because when the planes land, they hit, and they build up that rubber on the tarmac.
Yeah.
Some guy's job.
There's I would say at least almost a million-dollar piece of equipment that goes out there. Okay, so if you buy a pressure washer at Whole Foods.
Only David Schechter would buy his pressure washer. It spits out kombucha tea.
It's free range.
Home Depot.
It's like $3,000.
A Home Depot. You get 1,200 pounds of 1,200 PSI. This had 40,000 PSI.
Whoa.
And so it's a giant machine. It's not like you have a gun. And it just, it makes contact. I don't know what it did, but it was just like, that thing was all power all the way.
Well, it shot at, it was this little mechanism, right, in the front of this big truck that was like facing out. And so this incredible like burst of water would just shoot out. And then they would tilt it down. So all of that water, I mean, and the thing was like touching the ground. And so it's just like the force of this water.
Is that a little video right there?
Yeah, that's a little video.
Oh, yeah.
Is this what's happening? I don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah,
admit
it's hard to tell.
I was a little scared of it.
He's actually up in this truck.
Schechter is?
Yeah. But cooler than that, after that, you got to ride the little painter thing.
What's the painter thing?
I got to paint some lines out on the runway.
Whoa. How was that?
It was incredible. That was probably the best part of the whole thing.
Did you make one go, like, squiggle a little?
No, so it's really sweet. You go, you kind of get your line, and then you hit this thing, and you lock your line in, and then you just go straight.
Yellow or white?
Yellow, of course, obviously, yellow.
I want to get into the Wright Amendment. Mm. And I know that
you didn't think it was boring before.
In Texas, there's this little triangle, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and the little businessman's loop of having to make those short little trips. And Southwest service that route, right? How does the Wright Amendment play into this, and how does that affect where we are today? Kind of walk us through what happened there.
I'm going to do it in the least boring fashion possible, yes, because I frankly have not mentioned the word Wright Amendment the whole time we've been here because I didn't really want to belabor people with it. But the Wright Amendment precluded Southwest Airlines from really essentially flying anywhere except for an adjacent state. Mm. And that came off finally in 2013, 14. And then they could basically fly wherever they wanted. So that is why the amount of traffic through here has just grown so exponentially. Because now they can fly anywhere they want to in the country. And they started flying bigger planes. And they started flying more profitable routes. And so that's what's changed. That's what changed the whole picture here.
Well, during the Wright Amendment, like, you could fly from here to Atlanta. You would just have to land in a neighboring. Like, there's always a way that they fandangle the rules a little bit and are able to stay true to their
But if you can fly you can fly direct to Atlanta. That's going to be a more a more popular route that people will pay for.
Right. So is it kind of like this has hit a tipping point of getting busy? You have the Wright Amendment going up, more flights coming in.
It's maxed out, I think. We heard today from the assistant airport director that they grew. They are 8 years ahead of their projections of where they think they were going to be with growth.
Wow.
And there's nowhere else to go. They've got the 20 gates. They've got the constraint from 11 p.m. They got the constraint at 6 a.m. I think they basically just went from essentially 0 to 10 in a real short period of time. There really is not much left for them unless they start flying even bigger airplanes out of Love Field to get more passengers through.
And is that restriction just because we're, like, in a residential area?
Yeah, the last woman who was just here, she was a neighbor who helped come to an agreement saying you can only have 20 gates at Love Field.
So I was going to say, I love that as you're driving in here, there's like all the billboards for the airlines, and then there's the billboards that are like, you ever consider flying private? You should fly private. No waiting line. You get your own bed.
I love the idea that some rich guy gets the idea from a billboard. Like, you know what?
Why am I not flying private?
Yeah, but is that billboard going to sway anybody either way? Like, you're going to get a Southwest flight, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should take a Learjet.
I don't know if that's who they're advertising to, but half the traffic at this airport is private aviation.
But is anybody like on the cusp?
Maybe.
Are you on the cusp of private?
No, yeah. And especially Southwest is considered a cheaper airline usually, right?
Less expensive.
Okay. Not that, yeah. So the idea that you're waffling between Southwest and a private plane.
Right, but even kind of, the most expensive first class seat compared to private can't be it's not like, I'll just chip in the extra $50 and upgrade to private.
Maybe it's more affordable than you think.
I interviewed a private pilot once. By the way, those guys are off like 4 days a week. Seriously. They're like firefighters, I guess. And he said, he's like, yeah, a lot of rich people, like the determining factor for flying private versus commercial is that private, they can take their dogs with them.
Wow.
And that's just.
That's it.
I don't, even if I had money, I don't think I would ever like my dog that much.
Hmm. Yeah, well, apparently, I guess I answered my own question in that whole thing. But apparently for a lot of people, it's like, well.
Well, thanks for taking us on that ride.
I can could just get my own. Yeah, I always see the private jets because you can spot them. The little white Lear jets. And they go the flight path right to left field. And you think, who's in there?
A rich person.
Doing? Or the super rich people. Like Cuban's got like a big jet.
Big,
that
big,
flies
big
out of here.
Yeah.
Air Force One.
Air Force One comes in here.
I took a picture of Air Force One coming over the WFA building en route.
Which one of us has been awake for 30 hours?
I don't know.
En route to Love Field. That's pretty neat. So what else have you guys been up to?
I sustained a massive head wound.
You really got to talk about this.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's like it's been 30 minutes and we're just getting to that.
You didn't know about this?
No.
I've got a Band-Aid on my head.
Oh, what did you do?
I walked into a snowplow.
What?
There's this massive snowplow that they don't even have to use because it didn't snow last year. It
snows once a year.
Yeah. And I'm bent over changing out the batteries on the TVU. Mm-hmm. And I'm checking to see how much juice is left, and I've got my head down, and I'm walking forward. And you picture this. It's this massive, not like on the front of like a truck getting the streets. Like, this snowplow is massive. It's as tall as I am, and it's curved over really far. So this part that's curved over just cratered into my head. Jeff was like 30 feet away and says he heard the sound.
I heard it. And the truck engine was going. It was massive. Oh my God. It was loud.
And I am... I go to the truck and I'm just kind of dazed, and I come back and I like blood is coming down my face, and this sweet lady that worked
of this?
Let's see, it's all over the Twitters.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, go to my Twitter. I tweeted like 90 times today. You'll have to like really go back, but she was so sweet. She like cleaned it and put a Band-Aid on it, and not only that, we were back at the airport offices hours later. And she came back up there to check on me and then, like, redid the Band-Aid because I'd already, like, bled through it.
Good Lord.
I don't think you've been the same since.
It was a combination of bleeding and also sweating with just, you know, blood that was there. So it's like, there was just, like, David, as if he forgot what happened, was like, there's something red on your face.
Did
like, yeah, I've been doing some watercolors.
Did you not need... like stitches? Did they know you're?
I don't know.
Just gonna ride this one out.
The show must go on. It stopped bleeding, so I guess I'm gonna be fine.
Collapse from.
We'll find out when I get home.
Blood loss.
My wife will know.
Yeah. It's gonna be good.
I need to make a phone call.
Go make a phone call.
Go talk to Greg. I'm gonna give a call to Greg Johnson.
All right, I got you.
So he's talking. He's got to go talk to Greg Johnson. Shout out to Greg Johnson. I know who's watching. As if all of this wasn't crazy enough that we'd pull it off. We've got an awesome editor back at the station, mm-hmm. photographer and editor, who has been monitoring these feeds all day, and he is tasked.
How late was he with us last night?
Oh, yeah. He stayed up just watching us at home. He kept tweeting us. So he's watched it a lot. And so, you know, when we do like what we call like a spotlight piece, something that we promote, something that we work a long time at, right? It's about a three-minute piece.
Because normally what we do is day of.
Right.
So you get a little time.
Yeah, you get a little time to do a story, and we usually, you know, I will routinely have an entire day just to edit something that's already been written. What he's doing today is he's basically putting together one of those long-form pieces of stuff, you know, including stuff that happened 20 minutes ago, and he's got to craft a narrative, and he's going to put together this kind of long piece for the newscast tonight. And so not only was this big logistical thing that we did out here, but we're going to be able to wrap it all up for you here in just a couple of hours on the 10 o'clock news because, you know, we got this awesome guy working back there. So it's like, It's that instant. This whole thing is about instant gratification, right? Like you don't have to wait to watch something on the news. You can actually watch it while we're gathering it.
And then like, kind of see the more polished version.
Yeah, and you get that polished version, not, you know, in a couple of days from now, tonight.
But that's been the sweet experience of this, is kind of forming a community over the past 24 hours. We've built an audience over the past 24 hours, and they've been with us on each little journey.
Has anybody, I want to hear somebody that's been here the entire time.
So we got to talk about Miss Gale again. She gave that funny tweet earlier about you being a fetus.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I was looking at her profile. She has one follower. As far as I can tell, she joined Twitter
just to make that comment.
Just to tweet at us. She has had
just to insult me.
She's had 36 tweets, and they've all been following us. And
are
so
you
it's
sure
like,
it's not you?
What?
Couldn't you making a fake Twitter account just to get one more jab at me?
No, I'm not saying she created the account to make the jab at you.
Oh, I
get
it.
She created the account to follow us. She's been following us since last night.
Just to be on this journey.
I think so. And so that's what's cool. And she has a deep pool from an inside joke from last night. She said David Schechter buys his pressure washer at the same place he buys his raw, totally unsalted almonds.
Oh, so the Whole Foods pressure washer.
Yeah.
The kombucha tea pressure washer.
Yeah. And she's tying that in with a joke about his almonds from like last night. So that's what I'm talking about. People that were tuning into us like at 1 o'clock in the morning are still watching us now. It's crazy. And it's been a wild ride. We've got a guy that just walked up. He works at the Jason's Deli. And he came up and he showed us on his phone the live feed. And he's like, I've been watching since 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's just wild.
So explain a little bit of the logistics of how this works, because you can't just go up and stay up for 24 hours, right? I mean, you have a wagon full of batteries and chargers.
So many batteries.
And you're moving from location to location. How do you keep a signal live from moving all at once?
We have a wagon. We've got the TVU. For those of you that don't know what a TVU is, it's basically bonded cellular. It's taking all the...
Bonded cellular?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good little term. No.
Yeah. So it's basically like 6 MiFi cards that are kind of pooling all that data into one thing and then sending out the signal. So this thing can go anywhere. Like what we're doing right now would have been impossible like 5 years ago.
Yeah. That is incredible.
Thankful they gave us a little space, the city of Dallas did, in their little offices. So I've got a charging station where every once in a while I go back to charge batteries, because it's just taken between the batteries for the video camera, the batteries for the mics, the batteries for the TVU backpack that also runs off batteries, batteries for our phones. Like the battery power is obscene. And so I've got to constantly be making trips to get stuff charging so that when come back around, we'll need it again.
Any sense, like, is this a TV first?
No, this is digital first.
TV
is looking in on us, and we're doing some stuff for them. But this is for the
internet.
No,
what I mean, like, in the record books.
Oh, you know, as far as I know, like, broadcasting and moving around and being totally uninterrupted for 24 hours, as far as we know, we don't know of anyone else who's done it. Somebody may have. I don't know. But
sure, like Al Roker has done it.
Well, there's like the broadcasting in a studio.
Yeah.
As like
no,
a big,
that's what I'm saying.
A big like, news event. But in terms of something like this, where you're at a place and you're doing a thing, it's been crazy. And I think we actually need to move on to the next thing. So we're going to wrap this thing up.
Well, I appreciate you bringing me in to be a tiny part of this.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me. It's bizarre to see, fun to see. It's bizarre, interesting, fun to get a little peek into how you make 24 hours of TV, 24 hours of internet.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got a little glimpse of this in the Newsish podcast. Remember, we have like a year's worth of episodes that you can go through and check out. You can get them on iTunes, Stitcher, really anywhere you get iTunes. That's good. I'm going to wrap out and get out of here. You guys keep doing this. You have how many more hours left?
We have 2 hours left.
2 hours left. Yep. All right. Stay strong. Botsford, nice job holding the camera all hour long. This has been the Newsish Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye, Internet.